despite all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw him not. Then he spoke unto them and said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, you talk about a long sermon. He began to expound unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, which whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He was going to continue walking. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. They only asked him to stay because it was Middle East custom not to let a guest go on his way in the dark, that you should invite him into your home. You see, heaven wasn't clicking with them yet. They were still having an obstruction. There was something happening in their life that they were not seeing as the Christ, the resurrected Christ, was speaking to them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And what happened? All of a sudden, heaven made a connection with the earth, and their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe a lot of times our heart is burning inside. I believe our heart is moving inside, but we refuse to hear the message. We stay stuck. We stay resistant. We stay rebellious to the message that God is trying to bring to our heart, even as our heart burns within. And we go on our way. And we don't constrain him to sit at meat with us, to break bread and have fellowship. We wonder why the church is so decrepit in America. We wonder why people are disinterested in coming to the house of God. We wonder why people don't have a hunger and thirst for the word of God anymore. It's simple. It's simple. We're not allowing the connection to take place. Listen, when you go to your computer and you can't connect to the internet, you go out of your mind. When you have your cell phone and you're in a dead zone and you drop a call, I don't even want to repeat what you're thinking and saying. You hear me? What's wrong with this internet? I better call that company. And when that person answers, boy, don't you tell him a few things. I'm paying a bill. You know how much money I pay for this phone? You know how much money I'm paying for this so-called fast internet, and it's creeping like a turtle across the road? But when God tries to make the connection, when God tries to dial us up, even though our hearts are burning, I'm a little bit too busy, God. I have to go here and do this and do that, God. God, I'm not really in the mood to hear some word of God. I'm not willing to change or move past point A to point B, oh God. I've got things to do. I've got bills to pay. I've got food to put on the table. I've got meetings to go to. I've got this and I've got that. And God is saying, my God, isn't your heart burning within as I walk beside you? Don't you understand the cataclysmic explosion that I want to produce in your life? Don't you know I'm walking with you? Don't you know I'm trying to interrupt you? Don't you know I'm trying to dance with you? Don't you know I'm knocking on the door and I'm looking for you to open the door to the connection to heaven? Thank you, Lord. I believe some people suffer from spiritual reflux. I said, I believe that some people, you see, reflux disease is so popular today. Everybody's got reflux. So you eat a hamburger and you eat it two more times. Eat a hot dog and you eat it two or three more times. In the middle of the night, you're eating a hot dog again, even though you ate it 6 hours before. Spiritual reflux. See, all the truth is parallel. Everything runs parallel. Some people just can't digest God's word. 7 miles and exhausted. Jesus walking with them 7 miles. Woo! Talk about long suffering. You talk about a long sermon. Some people say, well, when's that guy going to quit preaching? I got to go home and eat chicken. You talk too much. You talk too long. My God, where would you be in the days when Paul preached all night and the guy fell out the window? And he went downstairs and raised the guy from the dead and started preaching again. Woo-wee! Jesus started from the days of Moses. And for 7 miles, I don't know how long it takes to walk 7 miles. It takes a pretty long time. You talk about one long, continuous sermon. And they still didn't get it. They still were impervious to the word of God. Spiritual reflux. 7 miles and exhausted, discouraged, depressed, depleted. But after their eyes were opened spiritually, they turned right around again and went back to Jerusalem, which they came, and they completed a 14-mile trip. And the Bible said they arose that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 together. And there they sat with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told him what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to return to Jerusalem. It's time to return with the message. It's time to return to our roots. It's time to return to the upper room. It's time to return that we receive the power of the Holy Spirit one more time, that God will shake the building, that God will shake the pillars of our heart, that God will illuminate our minds, that God would fill us once again, one more time, a grand finale. Boom, 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 boom. Come on, God, bring it down like on the 4th of July. Come on, God, boom, 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 boom. Oh, God, help us to receive, praise God, the thunder and the lightning from heaven. Don't you feel this? People are dead walking. They're dead in their conversation. It's like talking to a coffin. It's like being in a dark room. No connection. Leaving people depressed. Like you feel like jumping out of the third floor window. It's like, my God, what happened to us? What happened to God's people? What happened to zeal? What happened to our enthusiasm? What happened to our first love? What happened to us? Has life so scarred us that we no longer hear from heaven? Has life so scarred us that we just continue walking 7 miles and God is trying to bang on our door, knock on our door? He's got that big log and he's trying to bang the door down like the firemen do in an emergency? It's seemingly you can't move people anymore because we're busy. We're busy. We better get busy for eternity. I said we better get busy for eternity. And we better get our children ready for eternity. And we better get our grandchildren ready for eternity. It's not what you wear. It's not what you have. It's not your material possessions. It's not trying to give your kid some good life that you didn't have. It's giving your kid the spiritual life. It's giving your kids a posterity. It's raising your children up to love God and love Jesus in the admonition of the Lord. Because one day that little child will become an adult. And one day he will face or she will face eternity. Parents, got to go to the races. Big race up in Watkins Glen today. 100,000 people. Hey, I'm not against races. It'd be nice if you can get 100,000 people to church. They'll spend millions and millions of dollars today in Watkins Glen. It'll raise up that economy like nothing before, because they do that once a year. Policemen will make all kinds of money working overtime, all kinds of police and security. But ask people to give a few bucks in the offering. Ask people to give a tithe and an offering. And oh, my God, come on, Pastor. Don't preach about money. And you know I don't preach about money. If you don't know it by now, you're never going to know it. Imagine getting 100,000 people to church. But we'll run. We'll come from all parts of the world and all parts of the earth to the biggest race in New York State to see people go around and around and around and around and around and with noise and all. But if you bring them to the house of God and you sing a little bit loud, oh, my God, they sing pretty loud. That preacher, he's pretty loud. Well, bring earplugs to church. Read my lips. I guess John the Baptist was too loud. I guess Ezekiel was too loud. I know Jeremiah was too loud. Oh, my. I know the prophets were too loud. They were so loud, they stoned them. They killed them. They put them in cisterns. They put them in jails. Because all they were trying to do was bring heaven to earth through the Spirit of God. Listen, stay a few more minutes, would you? Jesus is always walking toward his church. Always. We don't always recognize him, unfortunately. Matthew 14:24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered, and he said, "Lord, if thou be, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come, come on." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. There was a great storm. The disciples were going to drown. But that day, suddenly, a man began to walk on water. Suddenly, the Son of God began to walk on water. Suddenly, that appearance of Christ became closer and closer, and they thought it was a ghost or a spirit. And he said, "Children, it is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. I am in control of the winds. I am in control of the waters. I am in control of your life. Just trust me. Come on, Peter. Walk on water. Come on, son. Begin to walk. My God, look at Peter. My God, look at Peter. Look at all the disciples thinking they're going to drown and die in the boat. And here comes the man of God walking on the water." Let a Christian get excited. What's he so excited about? What's he excited about? I'm excited about what you should be excited about. The second coming of Jesus. You see, Jesus is always walking toward his church, even when we don't realize it. Jesus is always walking toward us personally, even when we don't realize it or recognize his presence. And like the disciples, sometimes we say, "It's a spirit. I can't believe it. Is God going to come through for me? Is God going to meet the need?" Yes, he will. If you allow the connection to take place and the spiritual Armageddon to take place in your life. Let me bring this to a conclusion, so you understand the beginning to understand the end. Heaven is always moving toward us. As a matter of fact, the New Jerusalem. Come on. I said the New Jerusalem is moving toward the earth. The New Jerusalem is coming closer and closer and closer to the earth. It doesn't matter what man thinks. It doesn't mean what scientists say. It doesn't matter. Because one day, it wouldn't surprise me if someone looked toward their telescope and their telescopic lens and said, I don't know, I've never seen anything like this before. I've seen round planets. I've seen planets that are in orbit, but I have never seen a cube. Woo-wee. I have never seen a cube through this telescope. My God, when you look at heaven and you look at the width and the breadth and the height and all of that, my God, it's a cube, praise God, coming down, hallelujah, from the heavens. It's something that the world has never seen before. It's a shape that the world has never seen before. It's a glory that the world has never seen before. It's a house and a place where there's mansions that people have never seen before. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming. The will of God in heaven will be done on earth, my friends. That new Jerusalem will land. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Woo-wee. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When heaven and earth meet, I've given you numerous examples. When heaven and earth met, when people were willing to receive the message from heaven. Heaven and earth met for others. So the question this morning is this. Will heaven and earth meet for me? Now let me just preach here for a few more moments. I'm 68 years old. I've been preaching for approximately 43 years of my life to many, many people throughout my lifetime with my wife. We've traveled, we've ministered, and so on. And so God speaks to me the other day and he says, spiritual Armageddon. I said, what's that? Well, when you go back to the definition of Armageddon, it's a conclusion. It's a finale. It's hitting your peak and your zenith. It's the winding up. It's the wrapping up. It's the closing stages. It's a consummation, it's a termination, a climax, it's a settling of the matter, of the situation, it's a resolution. In your life, if you look at it right now, the culmination of all events that have taken place in your life thus far have been for a reason. Follow me for a few more moments. Our hurts, our pains, our failures, our successes, our brokenness, our loneliness, our broken hopes and dreams, our valley and mountaintop experiences, our passions, our desires, our pent-up emotions, and our emotional outbursts. Every one of these has been recognized by God and for some reason allowed. What do you mean? All of the events, all of what's happened to you to this point, it's for a reason. Stay with me for a few more moments. Here's God's desire. His desire is to use each one of these events to bring us to a place of spiritual Armageddon, whereby he uses these events in our life for his glory. Because Ephesians 1:11 says he worketh in us. That all of these events that have taken place, good, bad, and indifferent, bring us to the place for that one great purpose and reason for our birth and our existence. God is getting ready to produce a spiritual Armageddon to make such a connection with the remnant church, to make such a connection with people that will be receptive to his spirit so that they could see the reason of why they were born, the reason for their purpose and existence upon the earth, that through all of the events that have taken place in our life, as God has processed them through us spiritually and has made that connection, that we can take what God makes of us as we go down to the potter's house, and through his purpose and will for his life, the good work that he's begun in our life, he will begin to end in our life to bring destruction upon the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Satan. That's the reason you're here. But people stay stuck in their events. They stay stuck. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did I fail there? Why didn't God intervene there? Doesn't God see that I want to be happy? Why this and why that? And every time we ask why, we close down the connection from heaven to earth. Every time we get in a controversy with God and we begin to murmur and complain about what we don't have, there is no connection, there is no illumination, and there's no reason for your purpose and existence on this earth, because God is not going to give it to you. Until you allow him to take the culmination of all these events and do something with it to bring glory to his kingdom, so you can do destruction to the kingdom of darkness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That will never happen unless we allow God to produce the spiritual Armageddon in our life and bring all of these life's events to a culmination and a resolution that you can understand spiritually, and now we can move on into the kingdom of God and fight like warriors and more than conquerors. Closing. The question is this: will we allow heaven to touch our lives? Are we receptive to this invitation of God's will in heaven to be done on the earth? Are we receptive to the power of God? Are we even remotely receptive to the potter's house, where God will put us on the wheel one more time to produce such a beautiful vase and piece of pottery, that God would produce such a work in our life that demons would tremble as soon as we open our mouth and name the name of Jesus? That the kingdom of darkness will fear when you wake up in the morning. That the kingdom of darkness will fear when you raise your hand toward heaven. That the kingdom of God would fear when you pray to God and read your Bible and speak the word to other human beings. My God, he's trying to bring us to this place of spiritual Armageddon, where we can get all of this in order for the grand finale, so we can put a hit and a blow and knock out the enemy in the lives of ourselves and on the lives of those that we love, because they're not getting the connection yet. Jesus said this, and I'm giving you three examples. Matthew 13:8, concerning the seed and the parable of the sower. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Mark said it again in Mark 4:8. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Mark 4:20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Luke 8:8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Here's what I believe. Our best days are before us. I said our best days are before us. Only if we will allow heaven and earth to meet and have that spiritual connection whereby we're so hungry and thirsty for God that nothing else in this life matters in comparison to that. Nothing. Not money, not material things, not our possessions, not our pleasures, not our happiness, not what we think is God's will for our life. But say, God, I'm dialing up today, and it's not on the internet. Lord, I'm making a phone call today, and it's not through Verizon. But God, I'm calling upon you. And I desire that connection to be made in my heart. Though you've been disappointed, you might be in despair like David was in the Psalms or Job. Though you might be in darkness at this moment, ask God, what's my attitude? Am I open? Is my ground broken up? Am I ready to hear the word that you want to speak to me, Lord, to show me my purpose and my existence upon the earth? Father, help me put everything aside. Help me put everything else on the back burner for this one thing I desire, Lord, one thing, to be connected to you. My wife always says to me, I want to feel connected to you. And you know how sometimes in relationships we all get busy and we work and we do all these things and we just don't feel that connection sometimes. And what do we have to do? We have to sit down and look at each other and begin to bond again. We have to begin to connect again. We have to shut off the phone. We have to lock the door and dim the lights and say, okay, let's connect. Let's bond. I believe God wants us to do the same, to shut off the phones, to get off the internet for a bit, to close the door and dim the lights and sit in our comfortable chair and say, God, I'm dialing up. I want to make that connection. And my ground is so soft and so pliable and so flexible that I'm ready to receive the seed and the word and the revelation and the illumination that you desire to deposit into the garden of my soul. Would you stand with us this morning?